I try to not make a whole deal out of it, but I just go to my boss privately and I just say, hey, I just want to let you know I have this chronic condition. It's an inflammatory disease. I'm most of the time fine, but sometimes I can be in pain and I can't predict it. I won't even tell them exactly where. Sometimes I'll just say, sometimes I'll have really bad flare-ups to the point where I can't stand. And I can never tell if those flare-ups are going to last for 5 minutes or if they're going to last for 5 hours. So if I'm fine when I walk in, but I'm not fine during my lunch break, I'm not making it up. I'm not exaggerating. And I don't need you to do anything for me. I just need you to respect that this is where I'm at. And I will always come to you first. And if you want to know exactly what I have and exactly what I'm dealing with, I'm more than happy to sit down and elaborate and give you all the details. But if you don't need to know more, then just know that even if I look okay and I come into work okay, but I end up not okay, that it's real.
What a beautiful statement. Everybody rewind, go back, listen to that again, write it down. Hi, and welcome to the Endo Babe podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Bree. I'm an ultrasound tech turned endometriosis coach, positivity and self-love advocate, a 7 on the Enneagram, and I am a proud dog mom. And I'm on a mission to help you live more positively with endometriosis and be happy in your body. On the Endo Babe podcast, we're going to dive deep into all things endometriosis, mindset, self-love, health, and so much more. This is a badass podcast for badass endo babes, and I want you to leave this podcast feeling inspired and empowered on your own health journey with more confidence and the belief that you too can have more good days than bad. Are you with me, babes? See you in the podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Endo Babe podcast. I'm very excited to share Sarah Burr with you today. She's an online health and wellness coach, a fellow endo warrior, and just such a light in this world. And I'm really excited for you all to meet her. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's start out by sharing with everybody a little bit about your journey with endometriosis and how you got into doing what you're doing now.
I started having severe pelvic pain when I was 19 years old, out of nowhere. I just got on birth control just to be safe. And then it was almost immediate. The first month after I started taking the pill, my periods went from no cramps at all to on the floor, can't breathe cramps. And I didn't know what to do. So I just kept taking it. Probably 2 or 3 months of that when my roommate finally sat me down and said, this isn't normal. You need to call your parents. If you don't call them, I will. Mm-hmm. So I broke down and I called my parents and they took me to a doctor. She was a nurse practitioner, actually, who found a cyst. They put me on a different birth control to get rid of the cyst. Went back several months later. The cyst was gone, but the pain was still there. So she just told me, well, you probably have endometriosis, and sent me home. 4 or 5 months later, probably, my mom, because the pain just kept getting worse and worse, my mom was just like, probably is not good enough for me. She found a specialist in Fort Collins, and she then diagnosed me that following summer with endometriosis. And then it took a while to actually get to a place of relief, probably like 6 more years and 4 more surgeries. I had 2 surgeries in California with Dr. Andrew Cook up at Vital Health. And he, at that point, diagnosed me with interstitial cystitis and adenomyosis as well. And then I found a doctor here in Colorado who was really great for me. She helped me a lot, but really wouldn't do much except the pill. The last surgery I had with her, she diagnosed me with pelvic congestion syndrome. But then, again, put me on the IUD and told me that was the only option I had, or progesterone pills. So then I found my own health coach, actually, who helped me a lot. She tried seed cycling. We tried diet. We tried everything. We basically went really restrictive and healed my gut, took a bunch of supplements just to make me feel better. It took about a year, but a year later, I was starting to feel better, and then added the gym back in. Then from there, I mean, I think this September actually will mark 3 years hospital free from pain. Yeah.
That's exciting.
So that's like my whole story in a nutshell, I guess.
This very summarized version. Yes. I feel like so many of us have had those experiences where we go to the doctor and they're like, yeah, nothing to do. just take this medicine. Here you go. Birth control is all you got. And for, I know myself included, like that caused a lot more symptoms for me instead of actually like getting to the root cause of what was causing all of my cysts and my endometriosis pain and my nausea and vomiting and all of the things that happened, you know. How are you feeling now?
Good. I feel overall, I'd say I'm like at 90% better than I used to be. I still have some periods are really painful and some are not. It's kind of hit and miss nowadays, but it's very rare that I have to miss an event or call into work or anything of that sort because of my pain. It's usually just small bits of pain that only last for a couple of minutes and then I'm fine.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So it's been a lot better and I don't take any medication, just take some supplements. I'm very restrictive on my food though. That's, I think, the biggest thing for me that's made the difference is if I eat too much bad food, I end up either in pain almost immediately or that I'll be fine. And that next period is unbelievably painful. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Diet does play such a huge role. And I know because gut health plays such a huge role in the progression and transmission and whatever of endometriosis. When we have food sensitivities and food allergies, it can actually like aggravate our symptoms a lot more. Do you feel like being on that restrictive diet is something that you're going to be doing forever?
I hope not forever. Restricting is hard, but being as restrictive as I am, it does allow me to every now and then when I want to splurge, I can, you know, I can go out for dinner with my friends and drinks and I'm not in pain, or I can order pizza in and it doesn't bother me. So I'd almost rather stay on a more regularly restricted diet so then I can eat out and enjoy myself when I want and then just not be in pain.
Yeah.
I was really big into bodybuilding though. I still kind of am. I did 2 competitions and you have to be very strict with food in that. Mm-hmm. So I guess I just kind of stuck in that habit of being really restrictive, not in terms of how much I eat, but what I eat, what I put in my body, because I want to make sure it's healthier.
Yeah, for sure.
But I hope I don't have to be 100% restrictive forever. That would suck.
Yeah, that would be really hard. And I know for a lot of us, especially in the very beginning, when we discover that diet actually can help, like the super restrictive. And like, I know for a lot of people that I talk to, myself included, it was almost like the orthorexia, right? Where you like are obsessed with like eating super clean, healthy food because yeah. anything, like if I would have like a little tiny piece of gluten, I would like immediately flare. And so I was like obsessed with making sure that like I didn't have any of that. And eventually, like after years of like healing my gut and like working on all the different aspects of healing, I can have things that have like touched gluten and it doesn't cause me to flare. You know, I'm sure eventually I'll be able to possibly have gluten again, maybe.
Right.
But maybe not, you know, and that's just something that I've come to terms with and like that mindset, like I'd rather not be in pain.
Yeah. You just get to a point where it's not worth it anymore to eat those foods.
Yeah.
That's where I was at because I wasn't eating terribly, but I just wasn't on an anti-inflammatory or restrictive diet. I just was eating clean, but eating pretty much whatever, whenever. And I was in pain all the time. And at one point I just broke down. I was like, I can't live like this anymore. And now I don't have to be in pain all the time, which is nice.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. You know, before it did matter. If I ate a piece of pizza, I'd be in pain for days. Now I can eat a piece of pizza and be fine. And I'd rather binge on that once every now and then than eat it all the time anyways.
Right. And I wonder if it has something to do with like the long-term buildup of the inflammation versus like having it for a little bit and your body knows how to like clear it faster.
Yeah.
Something that I always recommend for anybody listening that's like, wow, that seems so out of reach for me, is like working with a dietitian, right? And figuring out what works for you and your body, right? Because everybody's different. People have different kinds of triggers and maybe your gut is healthy and you don't need to restrict so much or whatever, you know, like We're all right. So different. So getting like actually getting advice from a dietitian, I would recommend.
Yeah. Even that, or even just a nutritionist, honestly, yeah. Someone who's got some kind of education about food.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Gluten is an inflammatory food, but also if you're not celiac, you can sometimes get away with eating it and not having severe flares. So
right.
Being super restrictive like that isn't always necessary.
For sure. There's always a little bit of give and take.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that's like one of the harder things to come to terms with chronic illness is like almost everything in our life is like a little bit of give and take.
Yeah, it is. It makes it really hard.
Yeah.
But eventually you adapt and then it gets easier.
It does get easier. And I think it gets easier when you accept that that's your reality and you stop trying to fight it.
Yes. Which sometimes can take a long time. It took me quite a few years.
Same. Same.
I still have my moments too, but just tell myself I'm in a lifelong relationship with this disease. 10 years down, a lifetime to go. Mm-hmm. Might as well just work with it instead of fighting it.
For sure. I was interviewing this other woman this morning and we were talking about she's been on her healing journey for 18 years.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, I know. That's what I said. I was like, 18 years. Wow. And it just like goes to show you that like consistency matters and that healing isn't just like a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year thing, especially if you have a lifelong chronic illness, right?
Yeah. Well, cause I tried, after my first bodybuilding show, I tried to just, you know, I just kind of splurged. I was like, I've been very restrictive for several years. I'm just going to eat what I want. And very quickly, my body was just like, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah. It was really bad. I went, cause I was doing really well. I was in no pain. I was energetic. I was working hard. I was happy. And then it was just like a punch in the gut. I was like, okay, I can't go back to being a normal 20 some year old who can do what they want, eat what they want, drink what they want, stay up for 3 days in a row, get no sleep. You know, I can't be that person. I've just accepted that and it's okay. But early 20s was very hard for me.
Yeah. Same. Cause yeah, I wanted to be that normal 20 year old and I couldn't be.
Yeah. I tried and it made everything worse.
For sure. What have you learned from like learning to manage your endometriosis? Is there anything that you want to share with people that are listening?
As weird as it sounds, the boundaries that you uphold for your life and the people you surround yourself with actually make a huge difference with your pain. Yeah. Stress, I've noticed, is one of my biggest triggers. And I know it is for a lot of people, but keeping a good group of people in your life that are supportive no matter what. When I first got diagnosed and I was in pain all the time, I lost a lot of friends because people would get mad at me for flaking on them. Guys would get mad at me for canceling dates. And I had one friend who, if I didn't have her, I don't think I would have survived because she was that buffer. She had to explain to people, hey, this girl actually has an illness. She can't, you know, she's not being mean. She's not bailing on you guys. But I needed that one person who was there with me. I mean, I have my family. Family's huge, but having a good solid group of friends who actually are understanding and don't make you feel bad about canceling last minute due to pain. Setting up boundaries is a huge deal. Saying no is always been very, very hard for me. I'm a people pleaser, but learning to say no also has helped my pain because I would overbook myself and I'd say yes to everything. And then next thing I know, I'm in too much pain to do anything. So now learning my boundaries and learning when to say no and being okay with that, not feeling bad, actually does significantly help lower stress levels, which in turn helps lower pain levels as well.
So how did you get to that place of being okay with like saying no and like openly communicating with people and setting boundaries?
I snapped and I moved out of state. I quit my job. I subleased my apartment and I moved to Arizona for roughly 3 months where I had no friends and no family. And I could not find a job to save my life, which is weird for me, but it was good for me because I spent a lot of time alone. I spent a lot of time reflecting on why I got to that place where I just snapped and I was done. And I realized I was my biggest problem. I was constantly saying yes to people when I should have said no. And then I'd turn around and I'd resent them for that. And then I would be angry and then I'd be in pain. So once I realized, I had to remove myself from that entire situation, but then I realized that I was the problem. And the only way to change that was to fix the way I handled things. So I did. And I just, it was easy because I have a really great group of friends who are understanding, but I just practiced on them saying, no, I can't do this. No, I can't do that. Or yes, I can. No, I can't. And now it's very easy to do with employers, people I don't know, friends, family, whatever. I literally snapped and took off because I was just done.
Well, sometimes it takes a breaking point, but it really sounds like you have a lot of like self-awareness, or that time that you took gave you some self-awareness.
A lot.
And yeah. Then a lot of practice over and over again.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I needed. And so I just try to tell people to set boundaries and listen to their gut and be more self-aware before they get to that, because it's not a good place to be. I mean, I always joke about it. I went on a 3-month sabbatical to Arizona, and yes, it was very good for me mentally, but, and physically, but it's not healthy to get to a breaking point. So I just try to tell people, set the boundaries now and don't let people cross them. Don't let yourself cross them, because they're there for a reason, especially when you're in pain. Because you want to be able to do everything.
Yeah. You want to be that normal 20 something that can rage for 3 days at a festival and
go back to work on Monday and have no problems.
Yeah.
And I just have to remind people, or I like to remind them, it's like, we're normal, but we're not normal. Our bodies can't handle what a normal person's body can. Like, our brains can. Mentally, we can do anything everyone else can do, but physically our bodies aren't capable of that. But if you try to push that boundary, you're going to be stuck for longer. But if you set those boundaries and allow yourself to heal and get better, you'll actually long-term be able to do more.
Yeah.
And still be pain-free.
Right. It's kind of, I always joke with Eli, but I'm a 93-year-old woman.
Thank you.
Body.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, have you seen that TikTok? It's like, whatever, straight to jail. Too much, straight to jail. It's like, if I stay up too long, I get sick. If yeah. I have too much stress, I get sick or I'm in pain. If I do too yep. many things, I'm sick or I'm in pain. So it's like finding yep. that balance. What would my 93-year-old grandma be able to do?
It's true. It's very true.
And one thing that helped me really with setting boundaries is just being like brutally honest with people in like a gory, graphic way.
Yeah. Which, I had to do that a time or two.
Which just like stunts people, but it helps them like understand quick. You know, like before I actually knew endometriosis was an endometrium, you know, like I was like, I have the lining in my uterus that sheds every month, is inside of my abdomen, and it sticks all of my organs together like glue. And people were like, I'm like, yeah, so I can't do things that a normal 21-year-old could do, whatever.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I have an inflammatory condition and a weakened immune system, you know, like I can't do everything and that's okay.
Yeah. And that has been one of my biggest challenges, because majority of my 20s, my bosses have all been men.
Mm.
And I've worked in automotive shops. I've worked in construction, oil fields. So they're like not very open.
You got to get and more.
The minute you talk about feminine anything, they kind of just shut down and they're like, I don't want to hear it. So I have to come up with things to say to them that they wouldn't get like grossed out by. So I mean, some of them, I was comfortable telling them exactly what was going on. I just would tell them I'd have a reproductive chronic condition and it gets so bad that I feel like I'm being stabbed in the stomach. But I dealt a lot with those bosses. Will you look fine today? Why do you need to go home? So then I'd just start purposely going to work with no makeup. My hair would not be done. I'd get out of bed. I wouldn't brush it. And I throw on my glasses and they're like, wow, you look terrible. I'm like,
Yep.
I know. And I feel terrible too. Can I please go home, sir? but yeah, now that I'm older, it is a lot easier. But in those times, it was very hard.
I think it's just very hard in general, especially like I'm a very like extroverted person, you know? So like, I'm totally fine being like, I am gushing blood. I need to go home. I'm going to pass out. So like any of my managers but I feel like not everybody's that way.
I guess I always tried to shy away from, well, it's like my periods are really bad because especially now, I mean, it's becoming more of a known thing now, but you know, 10 years ago, it's like, oh, you can't handle your period. You have to go home because your period hurts. It's like, yeah. I would always try to come up with things to like, not bring up the fact that it was my period that was the worst, mm-hmm. just so that I didn't get looked at as someone who was crying because they had a painful period, especially working with men, because they all make jokes. Oh, she's hormonal. She's this, she's that. And those things don't bother me, but it's like, how do you tell someone that this is a full body disease and it's not just your periods, but that's when it is the worst. So that was always my biggest, because I'm really not afraid to tell people things, but I just was more so like, how do I tell my boss that I'm not just being a wuss because I'm on my period?
So for somebody listening right now that might be in this situation, like what should we brainstorm with them?
Yeah.
Like my organs are stuck together.
That's a good one.
I feel like I'm being stabbed with a knife. Feels like there's shards of glass on my insides.
Mm-hmm. My biggest thing that I tell people now is I have a full body inflammatory disease that does mainly affect my reproductive organs, but it is in my entire body. Like the pain is so severe, it affects everything. I mean, cause I would get shooting pain down my leg, my lower back, my hips. So I try to not like make a whole deal out of it, but I just go to my boss privately and I just say, hey, I just want to let you know, I have this chronic condition. It's an inflammatory disease. I'm most of the time fine, but sometimes I can be in pain and I can't predict it. I won't even tell them exactly where. Sometimes I'll just say, sometimes I'll have really bad flare-ups to the point where I can't stand. And I can never tell if those flare-ups are going to last for 5 minutes or if they're going to last for 5 hours. So if I'm fine when I walk in, but I'm not fine during my lunch break, I'm not making it up. I'm not exaggerating. And I don't need you to do anything for me. I just need you to respect that this is where I'm at. And I will always come to you first. And if you want to know exactly what I have and exactly what I'm dealing with, I'm more than happy to sit down and elaborate and give you all the details. But if you don't need to know more, then just know that even if I look okay and I come into work okay, but I end up not okay, that it's real.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And they're like, okay, cool. Thank you. Most of the time they're like, I don't need anything from you, but you just let me know whatever we can do for you. That's typically the response I get now.
What a beautiful statement. Everybody rewind, go back, listen to that again, write it down.
Right?
Yeah.
It helps. It really does. And I just tell them right off the bat, I always mark on every single application I've ever been given that I have a disability.
Mm, yeah.
They don't ever ask me about it, but I always put it on there just in case they want to say, well, you don't have a disability. It's like, yeah, check my application.
Yeah.
And then on my first day, it still makes me nervous. I still have to call my dad and be like, I'm scared to talk to this person, but it's beneficial. It helps. The first day I ask my direct manager and the GM, if they're actively involved with their employees, I just sit them down and say, exactly what I said. And then they're very understanding and they're very helpful. At my most recent job, my boss actually said, why don't you have your doctor fill out this form for FMLA? That way, whenever you do have a really bad flare and you need to go home, you're not going to get penalized for it. Cause I'm a personal trainer. So it's not like at a grocery store. Well, if you call in sick, then someone else just fills your spot. I mean, people sign up to work with me specifically. So I can't just, oh, Sarah's not coming in today. You can just work with so-and-so.
Yeah.
So calling in is not as acceptable as a normal job. So he was like, get this filled out by your doctor. That way corporate can't touch you with your flare-ups.
And like your boss is amazing.
He is. He is incredible.
And I think that you have the right idea of like laying down the foundation in the very beginning. And even like, I've never checked the disability because I didn't like endometriosis isn't technically considered a disability in the United States.
Yet. Oh, it's not? I thought it was. That's why I check it.
But I mean, honestly, like I probably should from now on because I don't think they can legally ask you what your disability is.
Nope.
So just having that there is probably not a bad idea. But yeah, I mean, I like the way that you said that. It really is just laying the foundation like, hey, I have this thing. It's unpredictable. I'm not making it up. I want you to believe me. We're on the same page.
Yeah. And it's worked very well for me. Very rarely have I had issues. I think there's only been one employer in the past who gave me grief, but he had his own personal problems that he always brought to work. So I don't believe that it was me that was actually the problem. Every other boss I've had was very, very understanding of it.
Yeah. Most of the time, I mean, most people are, unless you have like an a-hole manager, which some people do.
He was bad. That was when I was in the oil field and he was an alcoholic. So he'd be drinking at work and our area was constantly getting in trouble and it was his responsibility. So he was under a lot of stress and then adding alcohol to that didn't help.
No, definitely not.
No. So that was a short-lived experience anyways.
You've had a lot of very unique jobs.
Yes. I've worked in a lot of different industries.
Which is good. You get a lot of experience, kind of figure out what you do and don't like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've done about everything. And I mean, it's cool, but at the same time, it kind of stinks because I did have to job hop a lot because of endo and because of my pain. Mm-hmm. Because employers can be understanding to an extent, but at the end of the day, if you being sick all the time is hindering their business, they can't be as understanding as they want to be. But it is kind of cool to say that I've worked in the service industry, the automotive industry, construction, oil fields, and now I'm in the health industry, which I love.
Yeah, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually started with that. Before I got diagnosed with endo, I was going to school to be a personal trainer. 8-9 years later, circled back to it. So,
because you've always had an interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about your online health and wellness business.
Yeah. So I just started it about 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been personal training for like 8-9 months. And I love personal training. I love the interactions and the connections I make with people in the gym, but seeing as everything kind of goes into your health, not just working out at the gym, it's kind of hard for me to just work out with my clients and then be like, yeah, I can get you progress if you come see me 2 times a week for 6 months. 'Cause I don't know what's happening outside of their life. So I incorporate everything into my business. I am wanting to work more so with women who have endometriosis or other inflammatory issues, PCOS, adenomyosis, that kind of stuff. So we can look at the overall picture so I can help them with their stress, their sleep cycle, their eating habits, their supplements, and help them get to a place of healing naturally the way that I was able to get to.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of looking at training is like from the whole body perspective.
Exactly. Cause you can, the gym is only like probably the smallest portion of everything in terms of getting healthy and feeling good and looking good. The gym is important. Working out is important, but the gym really doesn't mean anything. If you're not eating the right foods, if you're not getting enough sleep, if your stress levels are too high, if you're deficient in something, et cetera, et cetera. So I love working at the gym, but I also know that there's so much more that goes into it than that.
For sure.
And that's the part that I like to focus on.
It's a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and I think movement is such like an important part, but you're right. It's like a very small part.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause yeah, if you are eating like crap and you feel like crap and especially if you're going to be working with people that have endometriosis or other inflammatory conditions, right? Like the whole like pain cycle comes into that, where your muscles atrophy because you're in pain because you're not moving enough, right? And then like the health aspect comes in, mental health and all of it. I love that you're incorporating all of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Cause that, I mean, for me, when I first started with my coach, I wasn't able to work out for almost a year because I was in so much pain, and everything, every time I ate, I was either in pain or on the verge of puking. So the gym was just out of the question. But then once I added the gym back in, it's actually almost made things better. It's like my pain, it kind of helps keep the pain at bay.
For sure.
I almost feel worse sometimes if I take a week or two off the gym. I feel like my body just starts to tense up, which makes me cramp a little bit. So even if I'm not going heavy and like pushing crazy weight, it's still, I mean, it's a mental and a physical release for me.
For sure. Like it's such a good, I work out now mostly for my mental health.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right. Like if I take a couple weeks, like these last couple weeks, granted they've been more stressful than anything probably in my entire life, but, I can just like, I can feel it. Like everything just feels tight and my pelvis feels tight and everything. My pain is like creeping back up a little bit. And when I'm like exercising or moving consistently, whether it's like going for a walk or going to the gym, you know, everything just feels better.
Yep.
But it wasn't always that way. Like you just said, like there was points in my life that I couldn't exercise either.
Yeah. And I hated that time. And it doesn't even have to be weightlifting or anything vigorous. It's just even going on a walk.
Yeah.
Getting out, getting your body moving is really helpful.
There's this, I think she's like a PT, but her name is like the Empowered Autoimmune possibly on Instagram. But she has a bunch of health issues and she was like showing like laying in the bed, like how just like doing butterfly kicks in bed and like how you, if you're bed bound, you can still like move your body. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like super empowering.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't even think about that. That's actually very helpful.
Anyways. So throughout your journey, where have you found, or has there been any experience or time that you've found purpose from your pain and your endometriosis and the things that have happened to you?
I am going to say probably I'm starting to notice that now with my business just starting to take off and learning over the past few years with figuring out all the different things that you can do for endo without taking birth control or pain medication or anything like that. I think I'm figuring that the purpose behind me having to deal with all of that and go through it is so that I can help people get through it easier too. Yes. This is a really, really hard time for me, as it is for everybody. I guess I'm not trying to downplay anybody else's, but it's just 19, 20 years old and you're in pain and you don't know why, and nobody wants to be there for you. And there's no, when I was diagnosed, the lady who diagnosed me was the only doctor in the state of Colorado at the time who could diagnose someone with endometriosis. So, I mean, Colorado's come a long way in 10 years, but it's just, there's not a lot of education. So going through all of that and all of my experiences, hopefully I can help people get through their experiences easier and or not have to deal with them at all.
And that really is like a beautiful mission statement for your business too. So that's, I mean, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, because I don't want somebody to go through what I went through trying to get diagnosed and taking Lupron and all the birth control crap and ablation surgeries and just shit that didn't need to happen.
When I talk to a lot of people and they have no idea that excision is even a thing.
Right.
They had no idea. They thought that it was just ablation only. And I'm just like, no, that's like the last thing you want to do.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, the ability to help educate women so that they can get better care from the start.
Yeah.
Because I know that I didn't have that. And I know you probably didn't have that either.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it.
Thank you.
Finding purpose in your pain.
Yes. My mom always told me that there's everything, something good comes out of everything bad.
Yeah.
And I never believe her, but she's always been right.
Not the funny thing about moms. You're like, you can't possibly be right. And then you grow up to have a little more life experience. You're like, shit, everything she said was right.
Oh yeah. And it makes me so mad in the moment when she says it, but I'm like, you're right. I know you're right. I don't want to hear it right now, but I know you're right. But I mean, she always said that to me. There's something good that comes out of everything bad. And now I believe it a lot more, because here I am 10 years later, taking off my pain and turning it into something good.
Beautiful. I love it.
Thank you.
And it is true. It's really hard to see in the moment, like when you're going through shit, you're like, there's no fucking way that is going to be good.
Yeah, seriously. I'm like, then you can, why could you think anything good is going to come from this?
And then when you can look in hindsight, you're like, oh, okay, cool. I'm fine. I survived.
Exactly. Yeah. It's true, but yeah, I know it's always harder in the moment.
Is there anything that you would like to leave the audience with?
My biggest thing for women who are starting to feel pain and they're not really sure, educate yourselves, research on your own, ask people, simply for situations like the Lupron shot, you know, doctors won't tell you everything. They won't tell you all the side effects. They won't tell you all of the things that could go wrong because they don't want to lose your money. Yeah. So educate yourself as much as you can. Research, Google, YouTube, Instagram, whatever it is. I mean, there's so many resourceful people on Instagram now who have education. I mean, and everywhere. It's just learn about all of the issues your body can have that can be mistaken for endo, and know all of the side effects, research the drugs they want to give you before you take them. The more you educate yourself, the more power you're going to have, and the less the doctors will be able to control the choices that they say you have in terms of treatment.
Yes. Knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Which in this certain field, it's important. Yeah. Otherwise, you could end up in a way worse situation than you're in.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on the podcast, Sarah. This is such a fun conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Where can people find you? I'll put all the links and stuff in the show notes.
So I have Instagram and Facebook. That's all the social media I really have. Perfect. And then I have a website coming soon, but I'll post that on my Instagram when it comes out.
Perfect. Well, I'll put your links below. So if you guys want to go hop over and say hi to Sarah, go ahead and go to show notes and click on that.
Thank you.
Yes. Have a good day.
You too.
Oh, babe, thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I had so much fun and I'm so fucking grateful for every single one of you. If you thought that this was helpful or you loved any part of this podcast, I would love, love, love for you to screenshot it and post it on Instagram at Chelsea Bree, ChelseaBri, and tag me. I would love to see what you're getting out of the episodes. It makes me so happy. I would also love it if you'd subscribe to the podcast and leave a review, because that just helps other wonderful endo babes find me as well. I adore you, and I believe that you don't deserve to feel like shit. You deserve to have a normal life despite endometriosis. So I love you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you on next week's episode of the Endo Babe Podcast.